What's poppin', my Freeform Renegades? You are tuned into the Freeform Network. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Freeform Radio. I am your host, Noel, and I'm here with my co-host, Daniel.
Yes, sir. Hanging in.
And Andy, of course.
What's going on, Andy? Back at it.
It's another beautiful day here in Chicago. The weather is beautiful right now. Spring is here, along with it, allergy season, of course. But wherever your listeners are, we hope you're sitting really nice, chill, and ready for our episode tonight. And so we'll get it going. Daniel, looks like you've been up to some movie watching recently. So why don't you fill us in on everything you've been watching?
Right. Yeah, man. Since we did have a little cold spell before this warm up to the spring weather, gave me a chance to check out some movies. And one of the recent ones that I watched that I wanted to talk about was Green Book. Not sure if you guys watched it. It came out in 2018, and it follows like a classical pianist or a jazz pianist, Don Shirley, I think is his name, if I'm pronouncing it right, and how he tours the Southern America. And he uses a driver that's kind of like a street tough, smart guy. His name is Frank Tony the Lip, and he's the one that drives him around. Not sure if you guys watched the movie or not.
Yeah, no, definitely. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's a really good movie, man. Viggo Mortensen is Tony Lip, does really great as him. And yeah, you mentioned Donald Shirley. He's the pianist in it. He's an award-winning Mahershala Ali. Yeah.
I like how you say, for all our world listeners, Southern America just sounded weird. Here in America, we just say the South. But
I was going to say Southern Deep America. South, but yeah, I was going to say Deep South, but I don't know if people would get that. Have you seen Southern? No,
I have not. But now, have you said Southern America? Now I want to see it as because that sounds like another part of the world.
Right. I mean, the film is set like in the 60s, so it's like right where there is still segregation. You know, there's still like whites only bathroom, whites only fountains and stuff like that. So it plays a big part in the movie as far as this classical pianist playing in the dirty South and having to overcome, you know, all the issues that come with being a black man in the South. And then with an Italian driver, and they have very good banter back and forth. Now, supposedly it's based on true events. Now, I don't know how much they take liberties and how much they're not, but if this was true to the essence of the story, it was very cool to see these two playing back and forth and then the relationship that they build throughout the movie. So to me, I ended up really liking it quite a bit. I didn't think I was going to, especially with all the hype and all the nominees that it got, Golden Globes and all these other awards that it was up for. It kind of made me feel like, I don't know if this is too artsy of a movie and I'm not really going to like it. But after watching it, man, I really dug it for sure.
What you meant to say is a film, Danny. And I believe it did win an Oscar.
Three.
Three, yeah. And one real quick, why does... I'm assuming the street guy is the driver and the pianist is the African-American gentleman. Why is he going to the South? Was he booked for gigs or is he doing shows or he's just like, I want to see, the dirty South?
I mean, it's somewhat of a plot point, his ultimate reason for wanting to go to the South. So I don't want to really give it away because it's a pretty good revelation in the movie. Once they revealed why he's in the South, but he does have contractual obligations to play at certain places in the South. And let me just say that typically he does not play in the South. I guess the typical people that contract them are white people in the North and not really white people that live in the South. And the movie did great as well in the box office, man. I think the budget was like around $20 million, and it made like $300 million in the box office. So
damn.
It did very well for itself, and the acting is really good. I like classical music. So hearing the music, it was really cool, really fun. And just watching the comedic parts from Tony the Lip, it's just funny seeing that. And I watched it with my wife, which not knowing how she was going to really dig it or not. And she loved it. She loved all the comedic little aspects of the movie. And she really dug the story, and she liked the overall ending. How close to it being true or not, it was a very touching and very well-ended movie.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think what made the movie so great, along with the writing, because the comedy is a big part of it, just how great were the actors, man. Like Viggo Mortensen and Mahershala Ali, like you believe that they were the characters they were playing. You didn't believe that they were the characters they played in other movies. You know what I mean?
Right. No, yeah. They really portray it very well, especially Tony the Lip. He plays the typical, Goodfellas Italian growing up in, I think it was New York or the Bronx or something like that. So it's very well made, and I really dug it. I really encourage you, Andy, to watch it. I'm not sure if those kind of movies are up your alley, but it was very well put together.
Is it in black and white?
No, but I'm sure you could change the color contrast on your TV if you want.
Yeah, I don't know. I seen the trailer. I mean, I'm not. Maybe if it's on TBS one day, I'll watch it or something.
Yeah, no. If you get a chance, it's worth it for sure. So it won Oscars for Best Screenplay and Best Motion Picture of the Year, and then the main actor won a Best Performance by an Actor in Supporting Role. So definitely a great movie to check out.
Right. So I encourage people to go out there and watch it if you haven't watched it yet. It won the awards for a reason. The other movie that I got a chance to watch this week was one in the movie theaters, which I haven't gone to the movie theaters in quite a while, was the new one by DC, Shazam. And I took the family to go see it, Junior and my wife. And I got to say, man, I really enjoyed it. Wasn't a great movie. Wasn't an Avengers, whatever the last one was called. It wasn't a great movie like maybe Spider-Man Homecoming, but it was definitely one of the better DC movies that I've seen, and it's well worth the praise because I think it's getting very good reviews out there. This one similarly has done well so far in the box office. I think I read somewhere that it had a budget of like $100 million, and so far it's at around $250 million grossing at the box office, so it's doing very well in the box office, and I thought it was one of the better DC movies that's come out recently.
Do you was it kind of like hokey, or was it driven for kids? I mean, or is it like very serious, like some of the last Marvel movies?
Yeah, no, this definitely does not have like a dark tone to it. So this is not one of those like Batman. Or even the Superman was kind of dark at times. This is definitely a lighter tone, maybe more akin to Guardians of the Galaxy with some comedic spots in there for sure.
You mean Spider-Man Homecoming? You think that's a dark movie?
Did I say Spider-Man? I meant Superman. Like the Superman movie had more of like a dark aspect, especially with Clark Kent's dad dying. But this is definitely like a more of a kiddie movie, maybe more like to what you mentioned, Spider-Man Homecoming, more of a movie for a kid with a lot of funny spots, a lot of kid humor. So a lot of music. It was really good, man. I really liked it.
I see it's PG-13, so it definitely does seem more like family friendly.
Real quick, Danny, in the movie, do they reference anything at all? Because Shazam was the original Captain Marvel. Do they talk about it? Do they make jokes about it?
I was aware of him being the first official Captain Marvel. But I was waiting for kind of like an insider joke, but nothing that I caught, at least not my first go around in the movie. This is probably going to be a good one to watch a second time and kind of see it with a little more detail and maybe see if they have an insider's joke in there peppered throughout the movie. But man, it had a really, since Shazam, for people that don't know, it's actually a little kid, or not a little kid, but he's like a teenager, and he gets bestowed this power from like this wizard Shazam that gives him his power because I guess he's dying or he's down to the end of his time. And so he bestows his power into a teenager that's coming from like a broken home kind of backstory. And it's funny, his antics of him trying to cope with the deal that now he has superpowers, trying to figure out how to control them, how to use them, trying to figure out the whole, with great power comes great responsibility kind of aspect of Spider-Man, where what does he do with these powers? What does he use them for? So it's just really funny. They kind of, ham it up a lot because he gets involved another teenager that he's friends in the movie with, and them two play off of each other very well and just kind of make jokes back and forth. It's really cool to watch with kids. Junior really dug it, and after the end of the movie, Junior could not stop saying Shazam after everything. He would do something and then be like Shazam, and then he kept running around and doing like this leap maneuver that Shazam does when he yells out the name, and he just kept doing it over and over again. So he really dug it and was enamored by the character and wanted to see more of him. So I think he's going to be excited when Shazam 2 comes out, because I think they already announced it, or there's a lot of hints of a sequel coming out soon.
Did you do any of the Shazams in other parts of the house, like i.e. the bedroom?
No, not myself.
No?
I think Alana liked it, but she didn't like it that much.
What did Alana think? Is she into the superheroes, or did she like this particular movie? Because I don't know. To me, I think it's kind of... it's too kid friendly. It's like not very dark. It's too uplifting, I guess.
Right. I don't think Alana came out like being like superly overly, excited about it. But I don't think she hated it. She said she liked it for what it was, being a kids movie. It's kind of like watching Teen Titans Go. It's the kind of thing that you watch and you're like, yeah, it's a good movie, but it's more for kids. So, it's not talking to me, or it's not talking to my person, but it's talking to kids. And since we're parents of a young kid, we can kind of relate to stuff like that.
Very cool.
Was there any, does the character Shazam take himself very seriously, or is he like, I feel like it's an origin movie, so... does he have difficulties with when the wizard gives him these powers, or is he just like, eh, thanks, like beat it, old man?
No, that's I think what makes the movie fun and makes it a very good, well put story. It shows his process of dealing with these superpowers, dealing with how he's gonna interact with society and how he's gonna interact with people in general with these new powers. And then plus, like I mentioned, he has like that broken home kind of upbringing. So just learning how to deal with his new, not stepfather, but what do they call those where they take orphans in?
Foster care, like foster.
Right. So his foster parents and kind of dealing with that, because I guess he's run away from various homes. So throughout the movie, he's constantly having to leave or hide. And so his foster parents are constantly like questioning, like, does he really want to be here and stuff like that. So it brings some really cool dynamics in the movie that are really fun to see, and fun for kids just to see how would you deal with superpowers like this. So it's constantly something in the background of the movie. Just how are you going to deal with superpowers, and would you do bad things? Would you go rob an ATM? So even after the movie, it was fun to kind of talk to Junior about it and kind of see what would he do with these superpowers from the Shazam.
And what did he say?
Well, obviously, he was just saying, oh, I'd get all the money in the world.
Way your son thinks.
Right. Because there is a scene in the movie where Shazam uses his electric powers to, like, shoot an ATM, and then it just starts shooting out money. And that was the first thing Junior's just like, yeah, man, I would do that. Get all the money and then go buy all these toys and all these candies. And so it was a typical mind of a kid running off trying to figure out, you know, what to do with these new powers.
Yeah, I was kind of on the fence about whether or not to see this one. But yeah, after what you said, man, I'm thinking of giving it a chance. I saw the director, David Sandberg. He's mainly done like short films, and he did like some horror movies. So this is like his first step into like the superhero world. Oh. So how would you say the cinematography was or like the direction?
It was pretty good. It has a lot of cuts and takes. They do kind of where they interact with the camera a lot. So they'll write something on a piece of paper and then put it up to the camera, kind of showing that a lot of this stuff is like home video recording kind of stuff. So it's definitely a mix, but it's fun. It's got a fun feel to it. So I think if you got kids and you're into the DC world, you're into the whole superhero vibe, this is definitely a good one. And the other fun part about it is that Dwayne The Rock Johnson is actually a producer on this movie, because there was a lot of word on whether he was going to play the character Black Adam, which is part of the Shazam universe. But unfortunately, spoilers, he does not appear in this movie. But there is a lot of talks about him being in the sequel. And speaking of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Andy, give us the lowdown on WrestleMania. Did The Rock show up there? Because he didn't show up in Shazam, but maybe he showed up at WrestleMania.
Nah, man. And he did not show up this year, but he had, believe me, they would have had time, the total runtime on this year's WrestleMania 35 was like unbelievable, man. It was, I think, the longest one ever, dude. It had to be pushing like 7 hours, man. It was ridiculous. I remember getting the notifications on my phone that, you know, it started like the kickoff show. I think it was like, I thought the show started at 6, and I was getting notifications like at 5 or 4:30 that the kickoff show started, and they had like some big matches on there, and I was just like, man, what the fuck's going on? And it just kept going on from there. I don't know if you guys had a chance to watch it at all or seen highlights or anything.
I got to be honest, man. My WrestleMania watching days are way over. I'm more of I'm more into the realism now, man. It's like I graduated from being a kid and watching WrestleMania and being like super into it to like now it's like I'm watching just the newer evolved version of it.
Yeah, I didn't watch it just because I don't have a WWE network or I don't have the means to watch it any other way. But I did hear a review podcast that I tune into from time to time, and it sounds like you mentioned, Andy, it was very long, and by the end, you know, on top of the issues that they had at the very end with transportation, it looks like a lot of people were just worn out from how long it was.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I watched it from the comfort of my house and it was fucking exhausting, dude. We were running errands. I'm getting notifications and I'm just like, oh, shit, it's going to start. So I didn't really see the kickoff show. I saw it later on, but the kickoff show had the cruiserweight, like it started off with a championship, the cruiserweight championship. It was Tony Nese versus Buddy Murphy. I really don't watch the cruiserweights. Tony Nese beat Buddy Murphy. They had the women's battle royal. And again, they just, a couple years ago, this was like the biggest shit ever. And then they just dump it on the kickoff show. Carmella wins that. And then, so from there, they go to, Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder defeat the Revival. They won the tag team championships, the Raw ones. And I basically missed all these, but I would have, the one I, out of these three, I would want to watch is the Kurt Hawkins and the Zack Ryder versus the Revival. And then after that, they still had one more battle royal, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. And that's where they dump everybody who's not going to be on the rest of the show. And they had Braun Strowman defeat all the other people. And then that's the battle royal where they had these two goofs from Saturday Night Live. And he defeated them. And like I said, that and that's just the fucking the kickoff show. So that right there, it's almost, I think, an hour and a half. You know, your average pay-per-view lasts about, you know, 3 hours. So right now it's, you know, it's pushing six. And then it just, from there, I'm like, damn, man, like this is going to take forever. And right off the bat, they started off with the WWE Universal Championship, which is Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar. This is one of the matches I did want to see. And I find it odd that it was your opening match, which it's for the championship, which you would figure would be one of the main events, one of the ones closer to the end, and they did it to open the show.
I think I heard about this one. Wasn't the decision like really quick, like a quick match?
No, not this one. This one they had it was a full on match. Huh. My biggest thing it was the opening match for the championship, and like. Lesnar's like the fucking, I know he part times it, but he's a fucking star. You don't put your top guy right in the beginning, you know?
Right. I kind of dug that, man. When I was hearing back the review, like I mentioned, I didn't watch it, but I heard the review. Even the reviewers kind of spoke of it well, just because it's something different. It's something refreshing, something that's not really common in the wrestling world to have. Maybe considerably one of your top main events of the night open up the show with it, especially with, like you mentioned, it's such a long card that you really want to space these out, kind of, you know, just kind of like a meal. You don't want to backload the whole thing. You want to kind of spread it out and put these good aspects of the meal spread out throughout the day and not have it all at one point.
Well, I'm a wrestling historian, so to me this just made no fucking sense. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, this is the belt, the universal like this is the belt where, you know, they pride their shit on it. Like, oh, we got Brock Lesnar, former MMA champ, UFC champ, you know, WWE champ, a Hall of Famer, or gonna be in, like, oh, this guy's a monster. You can't beat him up. And he's the opening match. He loses. And I have a feeling like Lesnar's like, yo, man, put me on or I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Well, what I heard was that it was a quick match. I guess it wasn't, but I heard he lost. And the reason this all happened was because he's going to be going to UFC to fight Daniel Cormier.
Yeah, because they kept dropping hints. So when the intro comes out, they have a host of WrestleMania, which is Alexa Bliss. She comes out. She's doing her spiel, and then Hulk Hogan comes out, and they do his spiel, like, damn, Hogan's back. That was the loudest pop ever. Fuck all of yous. He does his thing. And then, like, Paul Heyman comes marching down, which is the advocate for Lesnar, and he's just like, we're going to wrestle now, or we're not wrestling because we got to get back to Vegas. And then that's how this whole shit started.
Ah, okay.
So they were dropping hints like, yeah, he's getting ready to, I don't know if he signed or not. I don't know if you have some insight on that, Noah, if he signed, but, you know. So that's the opening match. And then from there, another great match, which is AJ Styles beats Randy Orton. And I thought this match was pretty good, but I just felt like, dude, that's another, like, possible main event. And they put it on too fucking early in the show, man. Even though there's no championship, actually, these are one of the matches I was looking forward to.
Huh.
Right. I dig AJ Styles. Even though he's getting up there in age, I still think he puts on some good matches. And then Randy Orton's another one of my favorites. So, yeah, that would have probably been one that I would have tuned in to watch.
Do you dig AJ as the wrestler or you dig his hair?
I haven't seen his hair in a while since I haven't seen any kind of pay-per-views. But if he's got a tight fade, I dig it.
Nah, it's pretty long. He's starting to, he's a fancy boy now with that hair. He needs a fade.
All right.
So I don't know if you ever heard of AJ or Randy Noel, but AJ's pretty good. He could wrestle.
I've known Randy before I stopped watching it. He was way back part of Evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And then, after that, I kind of the RKO, you know, just the memes and stuff.
Yeah. Right. Did you see the new one real quick? This kid got, I think, arrested for trying to RKO his principal.
Holy shit. I didn't hear about that.
That happened this week. So it's still going on. So the other one I really liked was the Usos win the tag team championship. And I forgot who they beat, but it was like a four-way with like three other groups. But the Usos, they're pretty good, and I like where they're going.
It's like luchadors, right?
No, those are like Samoans. These are The Rock's cousins or some shit.
Oh, okay, okay.
And then you got Shane McMahon fighting The Miz. So I was like, oh, this is another one I was looking forward to because I know The Miz. And Shane, like, you know, Shane was going to fall off some fucking crazy fucking stage or something. And they had one. But the match, every time Shane wrestles, he looks like he's gassed, dude. Like, he's always bright red. He's, like, breathing hard. And they're always hyping it up how he's in the best shape of his life. I don't know if that's age or that's because he's juicing or what his deal is.
Yeah, man, I'll never forget the wrestling match against Kurt Angle and King of the Ring.
Yeah.
I don't think anything will top that one.
So yeah, that was a pretty good one. If you get the network or try to find it on YouTube, that was a pretty good match.
And yeah, I know Kurt Angle had his last wrestling match on it, and I even thought that would have been a good opponent for him to have a rematch with Shane and try to see if they could top that going through the glass plane match that they first had.
Yeah, again, they getting to, you know, the Kurt Angle, there was all these rumors of who was last guy was going to be, and the guy they picked, Baron Corbin, which is like a total fucking bum. And people are like, they can't have him wrestle. They can't have him wrestle because there was rumors of Cena was going to come out and all this other shit. And or even I thought it would have been great with Shane, but they picked this guy and Kurt Angle lost to him, and believe, needless to say, everybody at the event was pissed. So,
I'm surprised you didn't like that, Andy, because you being the historian that you say, that's usually how a wrestler retires. They usually give the rub to supposedly the company's upcoming stars.
Yeah,
so
but
it's a good rub for Corbin to beat Angle.
But he ain't the man, you know what I'm saying? Like, so they picked the wrong guy. Let me just go down the thing. Kofi Kingston beats Daniel Bryan. That was a pretty okay match. Everybody, I think if Kofi didn't win, they were gonna riot. So,
damn,
they were adamant they wanted him to win. And
thought Daniel Bryan was the go-to guy.
Nah, he made the belt out of marijuana, right? You know that?
What?
He made it of all natural hemp and all this other crap because he wanted to make a belt out of reusable sources and materials or some goofy shit.
Jesus. Nice.
So the other matches, Samoa Joe beat the shit out of Rey Mysterio. That was a wasted match. I don't even know why they had that one. Roman Reigns defeats Drew McIntyre. That was a fucking waste. I mean, McIntyre should have beat him, but since Roman is Vince's boy, he got it.
And he just beat leukemia, man. Shit, you got to give him a win.
That's right. Drew McIntyre said, you could beat leukemia, but you can't beat me, and just should have fucking done some shit on him.
Jesus.
And then the other match I was hyping for is Triple H versus Batista, which these old timers did pretty good. And
was it a slow match, Andy, or was it as fast as the Mysterio matches?
Nah, that Mysterio match was quick. The only good thing is on the Botchamania, when Batista walked into the ring, he fucking fell. He slipped, and he almost fell down on his face. So everybody in the thing started going crazy. And then Finn Balor defeats Bobby Lashley. That was, it was all right. And somewhere along that mess, they had John Cena fight Elias, and he came back as the Doctor of Thugonomics. And that was it was cool. They had that cool retro feel, so that was pretty sweet. And then the whole main event of all this, you know, because Noel says it's not real, is Becky Lynch versus Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte. And Ronda Rousey broke her hand in this match. And needless to say, it was a lackluster main event. I'm like, at the end, I was like fucking exhausted. I'm like, I got to watch this match. And it was lackluster. The finish sucked. I don't like Becky Lynch. I wanted Charlotte to win. She didn't get it. And you could tell it was the finish was botched, because Rousey at the end is like, what the fuck just happened? Like, you know, that wasn't the finish.
Right. It was a first, wasn't it? The first time women's match came on last as the main event.
Yeah,
that
main event.
In WrestleMania, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was just history was made. I saw it, but I was severely disappointed. So
it sounded like a pretty good ending. I know you say you didn't really care for it, but I know a lot of the newer fans do like this women revolution. And supposedly the women's wrestling is what's keeping the ratings up, because I guess WWE's been having some issues with keeping the ratings high.
Yeah, the issue is they don't have fans. They have
marks.
Yeah, it's just Becky Lynch, all she's trying to do is be Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's all it is. Every time I see it, it's like, you're just trying to be like Stone Cold, but you're not. And Charlotte Flair, she's a great, she has athletic, she can wrestle pretty good. Rousey kind of got screwed. I heard that she wanted to lose, she wanted Charlotte to pin her, but she didn't agree to lose to Becky, so there was like all this bullshit going on. And so needless to say,
so it was a Montreal screw job part two.
Not a screw job, but the referee fucked up. That's what I'm hearing. And dude, when it ended, everybody's like, it ended up in a schoolboy. So I mean, and you can see people in the audience was like, well, someone fucked up, and people were like kind of cheering, but they weren't, because they didn't know what the fuck just happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
So yeah. Going with that, go watch it. If you got like 7 hours to kill, but going over you to Noel, something that's more real, and the UFC respects people's time. You know, what's going on with UFC 236?
Well, hey, before we get to that, let me just clarify. It's not that I don't think wrestling is real. Obviously, I've seen it long enough. You can't fake being thrown off a cage. That's going to hurt no matter what, if you choreograph it or not. But what changed for me with the way I liked wrestling was that back in the day, 80s and 90s, up till like maybe the early 2000s, the acting was a lot better. Like the feuds and the rivalries, everything seemed more real. Now, it could be that I was a kid at the time, or it could be that the people were just more into it. But it's like people lost that it factor. And you don't have any more new Shawn Michaels, no more Chris Jericho's, no more, you know, Kane versus Undertaker, where Kane looked like a freaking demon out of hell, like, or the Mankind in the Boiler Room. Like, there was just so many cool, iconic moments that I just don't see that anymore. It seems very
scripted.
It's more obvious that it's scripted. Let me just say like that, you know, it's
valid point. That's one of the knock when you hear the shows. It's just it's the way it's scripted. It's pushed down their throat to act, talk a certain way. It's not natural.
And ultimately, it's lost its shock factor. It's more PG now versus back in the day. It was on the verge of being like rated R sometimes, with like fucking Sable all like topless and shit with like handprints on her tits, fucking people getting cut up and bloody in matches. And anyway, the reason I kind of graduated from that to UFC is like it's unadulterated. It's as real as it can get, aside from a street fight, you know.
Is it as real as those Russian fights sometimes I see on Facebook?
Oh damn, Russian fights with like knives and shit, or what do you?
No,
watching?
What are those ones where the guys are, there's like the eight teams on one side and then eight on another side, and they just let them rip, and you just got to go punch the guys. What are those?
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
It's the team ones. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Joe Rogan commented on it. He's like, "What the fuck is going on over there in Europe, man?" It's like they're right. Savages. Yeah, no, I had to start watching some of those. I also watched the one with Bill Burr. He commentates on it sometimes. It's just called Rough and Rowdy, I think.
Oh, yeah, from Barstool Sports. Those are hilarious.
Yep, got to check those out. But, yeah, this weekend I watched UFC 236. It was on pay-per-view. Just really quick recap. A good couple of fights. The main attractions were probably the last three fights, in my opinion. There was a light heavyweight fight with Khalil Roundtree versus Eric Anders. Khalil Roundtree just kept kicking the shit out of this guy's leg until it was like so freaking red. He thought it was going to be like just fucking shattered the next day. He ended up winning by decision. It was a good back and forth, though. Mainly he dominated. Then the next fight, the co-main event. I'm not sure if you guys are aware of these guys. I know you really don't watch UFC a lot, so I'll just kind of go through this quickly for our fans that do. Calvin Gastelum fought Israel Adesanya. Israel Adesanya just recently came off a victory against Anderson Silva, and Kelvin Gastelum just recently knocked out Michael Bisping, who was the former champion of the middleweight division. So this was a good pairing against each other. Kelvin Gastelum is really known for his wrestling, and Israel's known for his kickboxing. So we thought it was going to be more of a grind fest for Kelvin. So it was going to be him wrestling and taking Israel down instead of, you know, trading shots and striking. But honestly, it was about 99% striking, and it was a back and forth battle. It was a war. It was one of the greatest fights I think I've ever seen in my entire life.
Wow.
And there's not many that reach that point. So if you guys get a chance, maybe watch a highlight video, a couple minutes. They both got busted up. Israel, he won the fight. It was a decision. It went five rounds, but it was a war. No, it was not. It wasn't one of those fights where you're like, oh, this guy clearly won. It was one of those, man, well, it could be either way. This guy had a good, like, last round, so maybe he'll win it. And sure enough, he did. But he looked like he had a really bad plastic surgery on his face after that fight. And then we got the main event. I don't know if you guys know who Max Holloway is. He fought Jose Aldo twice, knocked him out, beat him up pretty bad. It's the guy that Conor McGregor beat in 13 seconds.
No.
All right. Well, then we got Dustin Poirier, who pretty much both these guys lost to McGregor at one point in their careers. But since then, they've become just savages. Just they've gone to the next level to be probably one of the top fighters in the world, I would say. I definitely would not mess with these guys. And so 155-pound title. It's the interim championship on the line. This was another five-round war. And I'm talking about war. Like, when you saw the first, the co-main, you were thinking, oh, man, it can't get better than this. Like, I can't believe there's still another fight. And then you watch this main event, you're just like, God damn, dude, this is insane. Both guys were bloody. They were trading shots. At certain points, you're like, man, who's going to win this? This guy looks rocked. This guy looks rocked. And you thought maybe one was going to win and the other was going to win until it finally finished the fight, full five rounds, 25 minutes. And then the end, Dustin Poirier got the championship belt. He's worked a long way to get to that, so props to him. Max Holloway is the champion at featherweight, which is 145. He stepped to 155 to try to be the champ, you know. Unfortunately, did not work out for him, but he's still a phenom at 145, so we'll see what's next for him. And, yeah, that was the UFC, guys. It was pretty good.
Hey, let me ask you, for the UFC, do they still have Joe Rogan doing the announcing with Buffer, or what's that other guy's name?
So Joe Rogan will do it with a guy named John Anik.
Okay.
And he'll do it for the pay-per-views only. He's trying to like lessen his schedule. So he has maybe about 9 or 10 events a year that he does, versus back in the day it was like 30, 40. It was ridiculous. But now he's just doing like about 9 events. He only does it in the United States. I don't think he really goes overseas anymore, even if it's a pay-per-view. And sometimes you'll have certain fighters be another announcer. So it'll be John Anik, Joe Rogan. And for this one in particular, it was Daniel Cormier. So instead of going to WrestleMania, I guess he was there for that UFC.
Oh, that has to be cool to have existing champions maybe trash talk while they're announcing some other fights.
He throws in a couple jabs here and there, but generally keeps it clean. He keeps it professional. Mainly it's his insight, because he has a championship mentality. He knows very well what he would do in that situation. So it's good to see a person who has experience in the octagon giving you their personal opinion on what the fighter should do, or what he thinks is going to happen. And it's very interesting to watch their commentary. It's a nice balance now. Versus when it was just Joe and John Anik, you know, sometimes it would be it would get stale at times, or John Anik would try to fill in just all this, you know, filler stuff. And like, this guy trains out of this place and he likes, you know, doing fishing or whatever. It's just like, I don't really, you know, it's like whatever. It's just filler. But with DC there, Daniel Cormier, now it's just, you know, it's more entertaining. It's like having Jerry the King Lawler there. You know, he kind of knows. He's kind of funny, and it's like it's a good balance.
Right, right.
Puppies.
Yeah, DC says some funny shit, but he hasn't said puppies yet. We'll see if it gets to that point.
Does he start calling spots, you know, kind of like Tony Romo calling on CBS football? And he's like, yeah, now here with this formation, watch the tight end. You know, he's going to get the ball, kind of thing.
Yeah. He'll say, all right, yeah, the smart move would be to pull your leg out and try to get your hips under him, and then that'll be the way to escape. And it's like, boom, yeah, he did it. Nice job on him. He did it. He got it out. You know, he'll do stuff like that, and Joe will as well. So it's a nice balance,
right.
And they'll both kind of feed off each other and explain what the next best move would be to finish the fight.
Cool.
And yeah, actually, speaking of fishing earlier, I went fishing this weekend. It was fun. I have to say it was fun, but we didn't catch anything. So some people might not find it fun when you don't catch anything, but it was a new spot. So, you know, we're kind of testing out the waters, and it was cold a couple days before. So maybe, you know, it wasn't enough warmth for the fish to be kind of spawning and out and about and risking their lives to try to get some food, you know, so...
What were you fishing for, or were you using like a particular bait, or you're just hoping to catch anything?
So my cousin Rob uses a bait pole. Like he has three fishing poles. One of them I use is a lure. He has one that's a lure, and then he has another one that he was using minnows on. And at this place that we went to, it's a lake, kind of. It's a bunch of different like mini ponds and lakes. It's a really nice big forest preserve area. And you have northern pike, you have largemouth bass, I think even certain types of, I think, koi fish or cod or something like that. There's a good amount of variety of fish there. Of course, you know, like the typical ones are there, the ones that are like carps and shit like that. But generally what we're looking for is like largemouth bass, and I was even looking for a northern pike. And those get pretty freaking big. So I was like, man, that's going to be a nice steak dinner right there for me.
But, right. Yeah. Now that you're doing more fishing and at forest preserves, do you worry about like coyotes and wolves and shit like that?
Nah. But actually down the line, and we're planning to go in like fishing in more like really rural areas. So this one was more, this is like in Wooddale, you know, it's not like with coyotes or nothing. We don't have to worry about that. But like, if we go out like straight up the wilderness, like Bufu land, yeah, we might have to bring a little firearm or something, which I'm actually going to get my FOID, my FOID card pretty soon. So I'll be ready for that. I've been researching everything, like all different kinds of things that I need to learn on proper firearm safety and the best one for whatever purpose you need, you know? Yeah. And also this weekend, I know you guys don't really get into it, but I watched Game of Thrones, and I had to say, not as excited as I thought I was going to be. I mean, I'm excited, but it's like I was expecting more than I got.
Right.
What does now, that mean?
Yeah, before you watched this new season, were you totally caught up to it with all the other episodes and seasons before it?
Yeah, well, I was, but since it was so long, it's been like a year, I watched a recap that took an hour, and it was like a complete recap from episode one till now. So it was like a full hour. I was just watching it right before the show started, right? So an hour before on YouTube watching this, and I was like, yes, I remember every freaking thing now. And so I'm watching this and with all this information, but yeah, it's, oh, man, it's hard to say because they hyped you up and they hype you up and they hype you up, and they deliver this like, well, you get some information, but nothing really happens. It's just like leading up. It's like a buildup. It's like you're going up the roller coaster, but you haven't actually reached the top yet.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't really hear too many reviews on it, whether it was good or bad. I think most people on the internet are trying to stay spoiler free just because there's so much hype and so much, you know, buzz about it that I didn't really get a feel as whether it was good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah,
I got the feeling people were kind of upset about it for what I saw on Twitter's reaction. I didn't look into the details, but I felt like people were upset.
You know, kind of, because the buildup was so much, and then they promised things that they did not deliver on. Previously, they said, all right, the last season is going to be a certain amount of episodes. It's going to be movie feature length or feature film length is what is the actual quote. They said feature film length. Now, this was a 52-minute episode, which is not anywhere near feature film length. And if you look at the rest of the episodes, the longest one is probably going to be an hour and 20 minutes. And an hour 20 minutes is not even 90 minutes, which is like the minimum for a feature film. So it's kind of disappointing that they lied about that, because the fans want to see more. You know, that episode went by really quick. If you're really into it, which most people are, that episode is like just a little fraction. You know, a little bit of a taste. It's a little sample.
It left you wanting for more.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like you have a little piece of steak. Little piece of steak. It's like, dude, I want the whole steak. Give it to me, you know? But
do you feel that I didn't read about these feature length like episodes, like hour and a half episodes. Did they extend the episodes for the season, or are they still committed to their usual like 8 or 10 episodes? Do you know?
So this is gonna be a 6-episode season. They have 5 more to go. That's why they were saying that they were going to make it longer so that people would really be able to enjoy it. They said they had about 8 episodes worth of content, but they were going to fit it in 6 episodes or something like that. And that's why they would be longer. So we were all hoping, you know, for just some really long episodes that'll be like movies, which we'll see, man. It's definitely at this point, a lot of shit has to happen because they built it up for like so many seasons that it's the time, you know. This is a time where everything's gonna conclude, all the loose ends are gonna be tied off, and there's gonna be all the answers, hopefully, you know. And so we'll see how it goes. I honestly think you guys should watch it. It's one of the greatest shows of our generation. The CG is on point, the acting's on point, writing's on point. It's literally like we are not to like really exaggerate, but we are blessed to be alive in this generation where we honestly think about it. What was around in the 1950s and 60s? Freaking like the best thing you had is like freaking
the Honeymooners,
Days of
Thunder
in
Paradise. This 90s, man.
Like, this is
I Love Lucy.
Yeah, you know, compared to this, like, I Love Lucy is like trash compared to this, man.
God damn. Shit, man. That was Noelle. Guys, not me.
Yes, I'll take full ownership of that. If you think I Love Lucy is better than Game of Thrones, I'm wondering what drugs you're on. But honestly, worth a shot, worth a watch. Some people might find it complicated. Just take it one episode at a time. You'll get used to it. You get hooked on it, and you'll love it as much as I do. And I'm sure if you get caught up, you're gonna realize this is one of the greatest generations of TV to ever be around. And it's just blessing to be a part of it, alive through it.
Bam. Now, let me ask you this, Noel. You said you saw that kind of review or catch up episode, but before that you had seen all the episodes legit way, right? You saw every episode up to this point.
Yeah.
Okay. Single. Now, is it like Walking Dead? Because a lot of people are getting like Walking Dead fatigue where, you know, now they're barely watching or they kind of jumped off a season or two ago. This did not give you that same issue?
No, not at all. Walking Dead, I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm caught up on that as well. And I took a year off. So I was like a season behind. And then I caught up later on this year to the newest season, which is it's gotten better. I would say this season is probably the best one in a while. But yeah, and to answer your question, Game of Thrones, every season was just as good as the one before. And I was always into it, always hyped and ready to go.
Wow. No, man, it's getting me hyped, man. I kind of jumped off after the second or third season, but maybe I'll have to go back, rewatch those few seasons and then maybe, you know, catch up.
Most definitely.
Well, you know, Noel, you got to keep us up to date on the Game of Thrones and throughout the as the season winds down. I'm interested to hear about these hour and a half episodes. But again, we have to get moving on here because it's time for our article of the week. And we have breaking news, man. The world's going to a hell in a handbasket. Again, breaking news.
Damn, the trumpet sounded, man. The apocalypse is starting.
Come on, look at this. So,
look over to your wife. Does she disappear or is she still there?
No, the rapture? No, that hasn't happened yet.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought you were talking about.
I have a feeling that has to do something with our article. Scientists in China put human gene into monkeys to make them smarter and human-like. And then they got this picture of this damn monkey here with these adorable eyes. And I'm thinking, I'm going to have to kill this motherfucker.
Get your hands off me, you dirty ape.
So they're putting in human genes into monkeys to make them smart and more human-like. Scientists have used the gene editing to insert human brain gene in a monkey. And again, the Chinese are at it again. I mean...
Is this McDonald's cure to inflated $15 minimum wage, man? Are they going to start hiring monkeys to run their shop there?
So instantly I saw this article and I'm thinking to the War of the World movies were not War of the Worlds, Planet of the Apes, where the one in that 70s movie where there's monkeys cleaning up the streets and we have them on leashes and shit, bringing us our drinks, beating them up. This was instantly popped in my head, and then they're going to fucking revolt against us. You know, it's not going to be robots. It's going to be these damn monkeys.
It's scary shit, man, to be honest, after reading this.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Chinese are, you know, they don't follow no rules. And it's just, if you read it's a short article, but they get right to the point. They put these like brain things, these brain copies of MCPH1, whatever the fuck that means. And they put it in the monkey and like instantly the monkey got smarter, showed better reaction times. Their memory improved compared to the other monkeys. It's pointing at you like, you dumb fuck. I got this human gene in me. And to me, it's just like, if they're letting this out, do you imagine what the hell they're really doing? I mean, what's really out there that they're not telling us about?
Right, man. This is a little scary. I mean, I can't remember when it was, but it seems maybe like 10 years ago that they were trying to clone a sheep. And I remember that made some big news as far as whether it was ethically correct to experiment in that fashion. I think this is just up that same alley, man. I mean, should we be messing with stuff like this? This is how, you know, bad stuff comes later on. I mean, there's tons of movies, and not that movies are based on facts like that, but, you know, there's tons of movies that show you that when you start messing with genes, we finally did this, and the monkeys gave us the cure to that, and the virus mutates, and then before you know it, half the population is dead, you know, in these movies. So how much is that possible in this real world?
Well, I'm curious to see what their ultimate goal is. I don't know if it doesn't really go into too much detail of what the Chinese are trying to learn from this, but like hypothetically speaking, let's say the Chinese learn a way to improve, you know, just human lives by giving like actual humans these these genes, right? So maybe they're born with a deficiency that can be cured with this, you know, gene therapy, or cure Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or certain cancers that, you know, people are born with or develop over time. Maybe that'll be the way to do it. And this experimentation on monkeys is just the step to get there, because they're closely related somewhat.
Man, that sounds like hippie talk, man. Don't fuck with this shit. Can you imagine if the AI from like Facebook created, guess what, these monkeys, and they figure some shit out? Man, we're fucking goners, man.
Yeah, what's that shark movie where they start making them smarter because they're trying to figure out the cure for Alzheimer's? And it's just like this, you know, like they...
Deep Blue Sea?
I think so, right?
That's what's in the remake of Planet of the Apes.
Right, right.
They were trying to cure Alzheimer's.
So they try to inject these things to make the animal smarter, so then they could like inject it with Alzheimer's and then try to cure it, because I guess it's a cleaner brain something or other, some kind of medical term. And before you know it, man, these animals go crazy and, man, start taking over the world.
Well, just think about it. If the way society is now, in all seriousness, now think about it. So they start doing stuff like this. They start manipulating and putting these genes into animals. The other day I read an article that they gave a robot, Saudi Arabia gave it its citizenship. It's a fucking robot, dude. How can they have citizenship? Now imagine if monkeys, imagine they can learn to communicate. It says they, you know, to a point where they could actually communicate to you. And when do they start classifying it? It's like, it's not an animal. It's something like a human being. It understands. And like, where does that lead us now? Where we got to start treating like these monkeys sentient? With super brain. Yeah. And like, you got to acknowledge they're like, man, these people, they know what the fuck they're doing. Like, consider them your equals. Like, you're going down, like, obviously I'm talking, man, I don't know, maybe hundreds of years, 50 years down the road. But, I mean, these are actual conversations that humanity, world governments are going to have. Or that once it comes to a point where they have rights, too.
I mean, I could see it happening. I don't know to the extent that these monkey brains are getting to, like, the level we are. That took thousands of years, man. I know that certain monkeys right now, or apes, I should say, not monkeys, they're already entering the Stone Age. They're starting to like, use tools and learn how to use them. So
bomb them, bro. That's just scary, man. They're already physically stronger than us. They'll fuck us up.
Man, it's already
nukes in there.
It's already an adjustment for a lot of people to have like these general neutral bathrooms. Now they're gonna have to make bathrooms for monkeys. Man, what the hell's gonna happen, man?
I mean, we're going to need like 100 Caesar Milans to fucking train these fucking monkeys and shit, putting his dick in their face. But what are you going to do when they understand and like rip his dick off and throw it around and bite your thumb off? Because that's what they do.
Honestly, I'm not worried about that, man. Like, I'm not worried about any of those things, because our population is overwhelming. We have 7 billion of us. I doubt there's 7 billion monkeys that we have to worry about, you know, so... I'll never be worried about monkeys taking over. There's slim to no chance of that at this point, man. Unless everybody became like just super Down syndrome or something like that. I don't see it happening.
But you're saying that you can go one on one with a monkey, man. It might take like us three just to take
you need
on
like
one.
Iron Man suit, dude.
Straight up,
man. Dude. You ever see when monkeys or like apes attack? Like their natural. Is like if you're a male, they go for your dick. They
rip it out.
Kind of
like the whale that we was,
yeah,
man.
Then they fucking bite your thumbs off. Like they're fucking vicious animals when they're in attack mode.
Well, that's why you got to fight for the Second Amendment, bro. You can't let them take guns away.
Do you want to take your gun? That's like a lot of fucking. And imagine like they started to learn how to use guns and shit.
Damn, Andy, are you gonna go bite the monkey's dicks off?
Nah, man, I'm just like, fucking somebody shoot me, man. It's going for my dick. I mean, think about it. I think I heard it on Joe Rogan's podcast. You imagine if we send in drones and we see fucking monkeys assembling, like, we already know they use, like, tools. Imagine they start, like, putting fucking spears on rock and, like, on, like, a rock on top of a stick, and they're like fucking marching around taking over other monkeys. And like, imagine like, man, I'd be like, fuck this, nuke these motherfuckers right now. I like, let's wipe them all out, because there's physically, there's just no way you could beat them.
Right. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I think like a week ago or so, I was watching I Am Legend, and I seen it a long time ago. So I was rewatching it with some family members, and it was like mid through the movie, for people didn't watch it, spoilers, mid through the movie, there's a trap that Will Smith puts, captures one of these Dark Walkers or whatever they call the zombie like people that he's fighting, and it captures one of the people. Well, then later on in the movie, there's another trap that's set, but this time it captures Will Smith. And the people that were watching the movie with me, they didn't get it. They were just like, oh man, he must have forgot a trap. And I'm like, no, dude, it's these animals, they've, or these zombies or whatever they're calling them, daywalkers or night walkers or whatever. They've become so smart that they learned from Will Smith placing these traps that they started placing traps on their own, and they caught Will Smith. And it's just like, it's the kind of shit that happens that you see, where these animals evolve and these beasts or zombies or whatever, they're evolving and becoming smarter. And it's kind of like this shit with the monkeys, man. You know, they, how long before they become smart enough where they rebel against us?
Well, maybe like ultimately this kind of stuff that they're doing with the gene therapy or gene manipulation, it gets me to think about a superior race in front of us. So like, you're worried about monkeys, I'm worried about people being genetically made in the future where we are no longer the top of the food chain, not monkeys either, but like this new gene altered manufactured test tube baby that turns into like Captain America in like a week or something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a debate that's been going on since I'm kind of for that. Like, if I could get something to make me healthy, damn, and fucking ripped, like,
oh, dude, it's not gonna work for us,
dude. They're gonna fucking do it, man.
Nah, it's and not like, gonna work for us. It's gonna
like,
be
if
for
I could
the
get some
people,
fucking
bro.
Heart, if I get some heart that makes me fucking live longer, it expands my life for 30 years. I'll fucking pay the 20, 30 fucking G's. I'll go to Mexico and pay for half the price. It's like a risk that you're willing to take.
The Tijuana fix.
If the ticker's right. Bad and shit, I'll fucking man, I'll save up some money to go get that fixed, because I gotta fight these super monkeys. I gotta run away from them.
Yeah, there you go.
Right, man. Who are gonna be the first ones to go if these monkeys take over? It's probably gonna be all the fat people first.
Fucking then. Well, yeah, folks are goners, man. Your dicks are gonna get ripped off.
Well, yeah, man. These monkeys are fast, dude. You think fat people are gonna be able to run away, man? Those are going to be the first to go. And then the next are probably going to be like older people. And then it's just going to go downhill from there, man. All the people that are, you know, have no survivor skills, you know, Noel at least knows how to fish and he could probably survive, you know, a little bit, you know, but shit, I haven't fished in a while, man. I might starve.
Let me ask you this. Who's tougher, a bear or a monkey or an ape?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I'm sure there's a Discovery Channel special about that. We'll have to find out.
A bear for sure, dude. Well, a bear would destroy an ape.
So that's why I'm saying, if you watch that movie with DiCaprio where he fought a bear, he took that ass whooping and he still lives, so we might have a shot.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's maybe because bears don't go for your dick, but if he was fighting an ape, it would have been a different question.
You just have to have that like medieval codpiece, that steel piece that guards it. Yeah.
Imagine he goes for it and he can't rip it off. He's gonna get even more pissed and just smash your dick into the ground, man.
Maybe that's their way of gaining, is by eliminating the possibility of humans reproduction. So that's their way of winning, man, is by taking away our ability to reproduce.
Dude, I'll never forget it, man. I was watching I Survived. You remember, you ever see on cable? Right. There was a show. That's where I saw this, because this guy was in California. Somebody let some fucking monkeys or apes loose in the California redwoods. And he's just walking around taking pictures. And out of nowhere, this fucking monkey comes up, starts fucking him up, and started punching him in the dick and tried to rip his dick off. The guy survived. And I'm just like, this is fucking insane, man. Why are they going for your dick? He's like, it's like you're done. You're donezo, man. Like, that's some instinct that they have.
Right, man. It must be some nature shit, man. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's fucking scary if you ask me.
Right, man. All I know is, like Noel said, man, I'm going to have to get a cup because I don't got one because I don't play like baseball or anything. But I'm going to have to go to the sports store, maybe a plate against sports, and see if I can get me a cup.
You're going to need some industrial shit for that. if you want to make it a monkey proof.
Right, man. I'm going to have to do like an A-team and like reinforce it and put like guns on it and make it protect me, man. Protect the family.
You think the real quick, if you're in like, I got some fucking armored truck, the monkeys are going to be able to flip it over?
Yeah, man. That's just scary, man.
Dude, we have fucking tear gas. We got guns. We got like night vision goggles. We got missiles and shit. Like, dude, you're underestimating the power of human savagery. Dude, there's a reason we're at the top.
Did you not see the remake Planet of the Apes? We had all that shit, man.
That's a movie. Those people.
Man, that's real life right there, man.
That ain't shit, dude. Those people suck.
They're living out in those California redwoods, man. We went in there with night vision and they still fucked us up.
It's because they underestimated the enemy. I won't do that, man. I'm not going to do that.
I think the problem is that shit happens so fast that before you know it, it gets out of control because people have that mentality like, oh, it can't happen. It can't happen. And before you know it, monkeys have taken over, you know, like Joliet, and then it travels, and then now they took over Aurora, and then it just keeps expanding. And then before you know it, they're knocking on our doorstep and ready to take over Melrose, Northlake, and wherever Andy lives in Ohio.
Exactly. Like, I live in the middle of nowhere, so I might survive. Trump might be like, oh, monkeys are taking over, nuke that. Like, don't you want to drop like one of the biggest bombs? Nah, just fucking nuke it. Let's just nip it in the bud right away.
Well, hopefully that's a long, long ways away. Otherwise, this might be our last episode of Freeform Radio. But hopefully these monkeys are at bay and the China people know how to keep this all in wraps. But that's it for today, man. We hope you enjoyed it. Thank you all for listening. Remember, keep following Freeform Network and Freeform Radio on Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. Send in questions and suggestions. Let us know if you like that video documentary review that we did. We're kind of thinking about doing some more. Let us know what movies you might want us to review or documentaries that you want us to watch. Visit our webpage. There you're going to see all our podcasts that we have so far. We're still going strong. And please hit that like and subscribe button. It really helps our numbers, keeps us up at the top. But for Freeform Radio, I'm one of your hosts, Daniel. Next to me today, Andy and Noel.
Shazam! Hope he helps me out to fuck up these monkeys.
I'll be having my AR, don't worry about it. I'll just name a Shazam, that'll be my Shazam.
Cool, man. Well, Noel's getting his void, so I'll be going to his house for protection from the monkeys. But thank you all for listening. We'll see you all next week.
That was cool, Dad.